Hey guys, thanks so much for joining us here at Sandals Church, because here we are all about this vision of being with ourselves, God, and others. And if this is something that you're like, man, what is this vision? We would love for you to check it out even more and get connected with it even more. And you can do so at sandalschurch.tv. This is a place where you can find out what is God doing through this vision of being real. And we would love for you to be a part of that. Have a great week.
Good morning, Sandals Church. Good morning. I want to welcome all you guys. Super glad you're here today. Want to talk about just my personal struggle for a moment with fear. How many of you guys ever been afraid of something? Raise your hands. A lot of you guys. It's weird, man. When I was young, I was afraid of getting older. Now I'm afraid because I'm not young. When I was single, I was afraid, you know, I was going to be single forever. Now sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to be married forever, right? You been there? You're afraid you're never going to have kids, and you're afraid you had too many kids. You're afraid you're never going to get a job. You're afraid you're never going to get another job, right? We're afraid of everything. Fear has been a real part of my life. And so let me just tell you this, especially if you're young. If you don't deal with your fears now, they will deal with you later. And so in my mid-30s, fear just kind of just awoken to a whole new level of literally hell in my life. And all of a sudden, things started spinning out of control. And I found this beautiful little verse. This verse has stuck with me. It's been with me. It's something that's just really, really empowered me to deal with my fear. And it's found in Colossians 3:15. And so you have it in the English Standard Version. And I'm going to explain why we have that version in a second. But I'm going to give it to you in the version that I memorized. So all Bible translations are great. Anybody that tells you one's better than the other, they don't know what they're talking about. Okay, some Bible translations are word for word, and some are thought for thought. And it just depends upon what you want. So in your notes, it's word for word. And what I'm going to give you is thought for thought. And so here's how I memorized it. Let the peace that comes from Christ control your thoughts and always be grateful. And I found in this verse a powerful, powerful tool against my fear. Against my fear and against my anxiety. How many of you guys ever done yoga? Raise your hands. No shame. You did it. It's okay. Like if you've done yoga, you should raise your hand like this. Like, right. Yes, you know, right? So you've been to yoga, and yoga's always awkward. It's always weird, especially if you're inflexible like I am, or you're super gassy, you don't know what to do. It's the truth, right? It's the truth. You're doing things. My body needs to recap, you know. I'm a highly pressured individual. That's all I'm going to say. So you go to yoga, and it's great stretching. It's great for your body. It gets a little slippery, though, when they start, you know, saying namaste, and somebody, oh, it doesn't mean anything. Well, it's Hinduism. That's what a lot of it is. And so whenever somebody says namaste, what I do is I focus on this verse. And here's why. If you do yoga, that's great. Great for your body, not great for your soul. It's just not. So engage with whatever they're doing to stretch your body and get in tune with your body. That's great. But when it comes to meditation, you need to focus on Christ. And so what I do is I focus on Colossians 3:15. I don't say namaste. You can stay right where you are. I don't want your namaste. I don't want that. Okay? I want Christ in me and protecting me. And so when they say meditate, I say, let the peace that comes from Christ control my thoughts. That's meditation. And always be grateful. What am I thankful for in this moment? And so here's the sad thing. Yoga is great at gratitude. Christians aren't. We're just not good at it. We're not good at it. We don't live in a culture where we're grateful. We're not thankful. Man, I mean, how many of you guys, you sat around the table and you're just like, none of these people are grateful. And you're not grateful for any of these people. You know, matter of fact, I wish you weren't here. I wish you weren't here. I wish you weren't here, right? So what we do in our family is we take a time and a moment where we express thanks. And what's amazing to me is how hard it is for people to say thanks. Like, it shouldn't be that hard. What are the things in your life you're thankful for? Like, I tell my kids, I'm like, let me give you a list. I'm going to slide a list over to you for the things that you should be thankful for. Number one, you're alive. I didn't kill you this year. Write that down. Say it out loud. Give praise to God right now. I mean, literally, we're not good at saying thanks. We have a hard time saying thank you for food on our table because we expect it to be there. I mean, for the first time in human history, the issue isn't a lack of food, it's too much food. I mean, that's our issue. And it's hard for us to say thank you. It's hard for us to be grateful. And because of that, we are overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. And I'm going to talk to you today about how thankfulness can help conquer your fears. So let's take a look at it in the ESV. This is word for word. It says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I want you to write this in your notes. If I want to conquer my fear, I have to allow Jesus to conquer me. Now, this is hard for us, right? We're Americans. We don't want anything to rule. We want total freedom. We want total liberty. We want nothing over us, nothing in charge of us. And this is seeping into Christianity today. You can go to churches where they tell you God would never ask you to do something you don't want to do. You know why that is? You don't know who God is, and you certainly don't know what a king is. You don't know. If you want to conquer fear, you have to allow Christ to conquer you. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What's ruling in your heart? You know what's ruling in most of our hearts? Our emotions and feelings. And when you are ruled by your emotions and your feelings, you are ruled by fear. To which indeed you were called in one body. What does that mean? We're all called to do this. This isn't for some of us. You know, I was praying about being ruled by Christ. You don't need to pray about that. Just do it. Just do it. And what? Be thankful. Gratitude and thankfulness is the enemy of fearfulness. That's the reality. We're overwhelmed with fear because we're underwhelmed with God and gratitude. And I want you to just practice this verse. This verse has given me such great comfort, such great hope, that if I turn to it and I turn to Christ and I turn away from my fear, God empowers me. And we're going to talk about how specifically to deal with your fears today. So let's just begin with a word of prayer. Let me pray over you. I know some of you guys are afraid. You're afraid of finances, health. You're afraid of relationships. There's all kinds of things that you're afraid of. And I just want today for you to invite God into that fear. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you care for us, that you love us. And I pray that today, God, you would remind us of who you are and why we can trust you. So Lord, bless this time, not my words, but your words to touch our hearts and comfort our souls. We pray this in Christ's name, amen. So here's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is I'm not enough. Anybody ever worried about that? You're not enough? You're not good enough, smart enough, pretty enough. You're not wise enough. I mean, constantly we find ourselves in situations where we're overwhelmed because we feel we're underqualified. Like that's the reality. Like when you become a parent, like you're supposed to know what to do. And a lot of you are critical of your parents. Let me just help you. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. Like new parents, man, you take your kid to the doctor. Oh, they have a fever. No, you've wrapped your kid in 1,000 layers of clothing. Oh. I remember the doctor told my wife and I, they're little people just like you. Dress them like you dress yourself. Do you have 18 shirts on? No. Well, then maybe Madison's fever would go down if you took off the Eskimo clothing. You live in Riverside, right? You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. And for a lot of you, you're bitter at your parents when you should just be thankful that they did the best they could. They did the best they could. Well, my parents never said they loved me. Well, maybe your parents never heard that either. Get over for yourself for a second and start being who God's called you to be instead of blaming your parents for who they were. So my biggest fear is I'm not going to be enough. I'm not going to be a good enough pastor for you. Right? I'm not going to be funny enough. Well, we know that's not going to happen. But like everything else is true, right? So instead of being afraid that you're not enough, why don't you do this? Why don't you thank God for how he made you? When's the last time you just looked in the mirror and said, God is good? You don't do that. You look in the mirror and you go, oh my God. Oh my God. This week, my family and I, we took family pictures. Who do you look at first in a family photo? You don't care about anybody else. Peasants. And now in my family, it's not fair, right? My wife's beautiful, my kids are good looking, they're young. I look at myself and I'm like, what happened? I don't remember being beat up. What happened? My daughter pointed out this week that when I smile, my ears rise. Thank you for noticing. When's the last time you thank God for how he made you? You see, we're so overwhelmed with what's wrong in our lives, we never thank God for what's right. Let's take a look at a passage in scripture. This is a worship passage. And if you don't know what worship means, it's where we give praise to God for what he's done and for who he is. And one of the things we need to praise God for is for how he made us. And Psalms 139 says this. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body. When's the last time you thanked God for the organs you don't even know are there? Like some of you don't even know what your pancreas is doing right now. Right? You don't even know what your coccyx is until you break it. Ah! It's your tailbone. It's back down there. You fall on the ice skating. Right? You don't know what it is until it doesn't work. When's the last time you thanked God for your toes? You ever, who's broken a toe? Man, isn't that amazing? You're like, I didn't even know you were there. And now all I can think about is you. It hurts. And that is painful, right? Isn't it amazing how focused we are on things when they don't work and just completely, we don't even think about them when they do? Like how many of you right now are telling your heart to beat? Beat, beat. Can you imagine if we had to do that all day? Beat, 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 beat. It would be so annoying. But your heart just does it, praise God. It just does it. You take that food, you call food, your body's like, that's no good. You're like, I don't care, it's on sale. Can you imagine if you fed your car like you fed your body? Deal with it. I need gasoline. It's a burrito. Gives me gas. Here you go. Can you imagine? You just put whatever you want in your body, your body's like, okay, we got to work with this. When's the last time you thanked God? Thank God that your body works. You know how you treat it. You know what you do to it. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. And if you're a woman, that's double to you. You are a complex. I do not understand you. I love you, but you are complex. Amen, ladies? You know it. You know it's true. You don't understand each other. Just stick with me. Okay. Your workmanship is marvelous. It's marvelous. The only thing we call marvelous in modern day is someone with a superpower. You go watch the movies. Oh, it's Marvel Comics. We only call people with superpowers marvelous. What can you do? Stay alive and breathe. That's nothing. It's a superpower. It's amazing. It's amazing what your body can do. It's incredible. You are amazing. But we don't think there's anything special about us and we're wrong. It says your workmanship is marvelous and how well I know it. God doesn't make junk and he made you. Look at this. It says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. Listen, your parents may have been surprised by you, but God wasn't. There's no such thing as an accidental child, only accidental parents. Isn't that amazing? God watched you as you were being formed. In utter seclusion, before there were ultrasounds, there was God. He saw you. He watched you. As I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. What that means is God not only knew you before you existed, but he watched you as you were made. And God says, wow, there's such potential there. You're such an amazing, amazing gift. I just want to walk through a couple things about you that maybe you haven't thanked God for lately. Number one, God made me more beautiful than I can see. More beautiful than I can see. I don't know if you noticed, but that was a man that said amen. It's women, you don't believe it, right? How long does it take you to get ready? Forever. Forever. My wife and I, we have this little fight. It's not a fight because I love Jesus and I serve the Lord. But we have this song. My wife's always legitimate. This is a real thing. My wife is always worried that I'm not going to be ready on time. You could give my wife a 3-day head start and I'm gonna beat her to the car every single time. Do you know why it is, guys? Because we think we're amazing with pants on and a little hair. That's how guys get ready. Whoop, let's go. Right, ladies? Multiple outfits. My wife, I got a, yes, that outfit, those shoes. Yes, that, but yep. I mean, there's like all kinds of intricacies, man. It's just amazing. Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yes. I meant no. I meant yes. I meant, yeah, amazing. Amazing. You're more beautiful than you can see, ladies. You're more beautiful than you can see. You have no idea how beautiful you are. Like, I look at you and I look at guys and I go, okay. Right? You're beautiful. And here's the thing is, the world has lied to you and said you're not enough. You're not enough. And that's a lie from hell. It's not from God. You're more beautiful than you can see. And the problem is, you're like, you know, no, I know what I see. Well, there was a day and age when I trusted my vision. I did. I thought I knew how to see. This is no joke. God spares no expense at humbling me. We had a staff meeting one day, and I don't know why, but one of our youth pastors brought an eye chart. And I was making fun of everybody. Oh, you guys, you just want to be special and wear glasses. So you look cool and you could be a model. And they were just testing their vision. And so I just thought, you know, I would play along with their stupid game. And so I went up. I said, well, how far away are we supposed to be from the line? I made them Google it. I think we're too far. So they Googled it and we measured it out and they were exactly right. And I was like, does anybody remember, if you wear glasses, do you remember the first time you got glasses? I remember walking outside of Kaiser and looking at trees and going, oh. They have leaves. I thought they were just green clouds. Does anybody remember walking on grass? You're like, oh my God. Oh, they're blades. My whole life, I thought I could see. I thought everybody else couldn't see. I was like, oh. When you die and go to heaven, God's going to put some glasses on you and you're going to go, oh, I didn't see myself. This is what the Apostle Paul says. Now we see things, underline it, imperfectly. How? Even as a Christian, you don't see yourself accurately. You don't have accurate vision. So how do we see? Like puzzling reflections in the mirror. That's how I look at myself. Oh, that's interesting. But then, we will see everything with perfect clarity. Man, when we die and we go to heaven, you guys are gonna see me. You know what Sandals Church is gonna talk about in heaven? Do you see Pastor Matt? He looks good. I'm gonna walk around for 1,000 years. Yeah! Yeah! Check that out. You didn't see it on earth. Check that out. I'm gonna be glorious. So the Bible says we're gonna be glorious. We're gonna be like Christ. You're gonna go, did you see Jesus? Yeah. Did you see Matt? Yeah. He looks like Jesus. Wow. But you don't believe it. You don't believe it. Because you criticize yourself. I'm too fat, I'm too tall, I'm too skinny. I hate pictures, any picture where my nose is like at a side angle. I look like Phineas and Ferb rerun, man. It's true, dude. Look at this. It says, yet God has made everything beautiful. I want you to add two dots because there's not a period after the end of the word beautiful. Here's how it is in the scriptures. God has made everything beautiful in its time. You haven't seen yourself yet. You have no idea. The reason you struggle with self-worth is because you struggle with your relationship with God. You see, your worth has come from what people have told you how beautiful you are rather than the God who made you. God has made everything beautiful, and that includes you guys. We're so uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable. I don't want to be called beautiful. Okay, Captain Tough. You think you're tougher than King David?
You're like, well, yeah.
Okay, have you killed a bear with your own hands? You can't even get rid of the rats in your house. David killed a bear with his bare hands. David killed a lion with his bare hands. Are you tougher than David? Here's what the Bible says about David. He was beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's what God says to you when he sees you as young men, as middle-aged men, as older men. You are beautiful. You are a work of God. You are created in his image. You're beautiful. How about you ladies? You're so critical of yourself. I want you to write this down. If you're single, you're not allowed to read this book in the Bible yet. Don't go there. You'll stumble. Song of Songs. It's for married people. Guys, husbands, if you're looking for a Bible study to do with your wife, Song of Songs. You read it, and then you apply it. It's a good book. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 5. Oh, you got to read it, ladies. You say, oh, it's a book written by men. No, it's not. In chapter 1, verse 5, it's a woman speaking. And you know what she says? She says, oh, I am dark. And beautiful. Sorry, I had a little moment there. It's true. It's true. God made you beautiful. Beautiful. Drives me crazy. My wife says, how do I look? Beautiful! For the millionth time! Really? Yes! Yes. I mean, yes. Yes. I'm more beautiful than I can see. And that's hard because my eyes don't work. My eyes don't work. Next, I'm stronger than I know. Some of you guys have no idea how strong you are because we live in a world that makes you feel weak. Some of you guys can't even get through your day if they get your Starbucks order wrong. Oh my gosh, I said soy. I said soy and they put half and half and oh my gosh, my whole day is ruined. I don't know, it's like the devil himself is after me. I said soy. You have no idea who you are. Some of you need to go back and you need to read Genesis. You think a Navy SEAL's tough? You need to read about Adam and Eve. Do you know the Bible says Adam named the animals? Do you know why they had to bow before him? Because he was awesome. He was awesome. And even after the fall, read the Bible. God has to protect the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword. Who's he protecting it from? Adam. Adam. I think you can deal with a soy latte. Oh my gosh, I said sweet potato fries. I think you can deal with it. See, the world is making you weak. God made you strong. God made you strong. And here's the problem. Some of you think, oh, this marriage can't make it. Oh, yes, it can because you are stronger than you know. Oh, I can't deal with this 2-year-old. He's a terrorist. You're stronger than you know. Isn't it sad how weak parents are today? Don't make me count. 1, 2, 2.5, 2.75. You are Adam. Slay that child. Right? I'm stronger than I know. You're stronger than you know. It breaks my heart today, especially if you're a young person, the world has made you weak. The world has made you weak. And you are strong. Listen to me, frontsiders. You don't think you can do anything. You know what my grandpa did when he was 16? Lied about his age and went and fought in World War II. You're stronger than you know. Stronger than you know. And you're settling for so much less. You settle for lying about your age so you can vape. Whoa, that's tough. Look at this cloud I can blow. Sorry, I'm on a rant today. This is bad. This might not make the internet version. Director's cut. Okay. But you're stronger than you know. You are. And let me tell you something. If God doesn't allow you to go through hardship, you'll never know how strong you are. Life is hard. And do you know why it is? Because God made you strong. The Apostle Paul says, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who's given me what? Strength to do his work. Oh, the Christian life's so hard. That's why God made you strong. Right? The Apostle Paul tells young Timothy, our God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and self-discipline and strength. That's what it means to be a Christian. Let the world be weak. You were made to be strong. I'm stronger than I know. The next time you say, I can't, I want you to remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. What does Christ give you strength to do? Not to sin. You do that on your own. Christ gives you strength to do what's right. To do what's right. Do you know why so many of you sin so often? Because you've convinced yourself you're weak. Who told you you're weak? Not God. He made you strong. He made you powerful. He created you in his image. Read Genesis. You were made to rule. Some of you don't know what that means. Do you know the earth has always been wild? Always. Some of you misunderstand Genesis. You think perfect means without hardship. Before the fall, God tells Adam and Eve, you must conquer and subdue the earth. Do you know what that means? Let me translate it. It's cancer or you. It's mosquitoes and malaria or you. God let the earth be wild so we could be strong. So we could be strong. Even in heaven, some of you are going to be disappointed. There's still going to be work. It's just not going to be cursed. There's going to be things to do because we're strong. Next, I'm more loved than I can feel. Some of you don't feel God today. Many people, they don't come to church because they don't feel God. They don't feel God. Well, I don't feel God. I don't feel connected to God. Just because you don't feel connected doesn't mean you aren't connected. What if you judged your cell phone that way? I don't feel like it's connected. Well, have you looked at the bars? No. Well, what did the bar say? I don't care. I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I'm my own cell tower. And I can tell when it's connected. No, you can't. Your phone tells you. Your feelings don't tell you when you're connected to God. The Word of God does. That's what tells you when you're connected. Jeremiah says this, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with an unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. It's beautiful, isn't it? Some of you don't know what was happening to the people of Israel when these words were spoken. They've been conquered by Babylon. Raise your hand if you're a man. Most of you are dead. Raise your hand if you're a woman. If you're young, you're being sold. If you're older, good luck. Israel literally is in ruin. And they're being carried away as slaves. Little boy named Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego watch their parents slaughtered as they're carried away. Do you think they felt loved? Do you think they felt important? And Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says. As they're being carried away in chains, I have loved you. I will always love you. And I'm going to do everything I can to draw you to myself because that's who I am. Just because you don't feel God's love doesn't mean you're not loved by God. Parenting is a funny thing. It teaches you a lot of things, a lot of hard things, but a lot of real things. And one of the greatest challenges of parenting is disciplining your children, and every parent has to decide for themselves how to do that. But we had our first daughter who's quite challenging. High 8 on the Enneagram, which means she's always been right. And we had an issue with her where we had to discipline her, and words weren't working. We talked and talked and talked, and so it was time to lay hands on the child. And so after we got done laying hands, there's a pep talk from dad to daughter. And I just said, I want you to know that no matter what happens, no matter how this feels, I said, I want you to know I will always love you. And she looked at me and said, Dad, but what if I don't love you? I thought maybe we needed to lay hands again, but but it's a great question, right? And in that moment, God spoke powerfully to me, to her, but to me. It's amazing how God does that. He has like three-way messages. And I said, Madison, my love for you is not dependent on your love for me. And all of a sudden, I went, oh. God doesn't love you because you love him. He loves you because he's love. That's who he is. That's what he is. And just because you can't feel it simply means there's something wrong with your heart. There's nothing wrong with God. So let's deal with your heart. And let's look at what's going on in your life that's blocking you from feeling God. He's here. He loves you. And whether you can feel that or not, it's true. This is my commandment, Jesus says. Love each other the same way I've loved you. You see, the church is supposed to be different. One of the things we work on here at church is loving each other. It's not just a place to come and sit and learn and laugh. It's a place to practice love. And let me just say this. You can't do that if you're not serving. Because the way Jesus loved us was by serving us. Next, I'm more gifted than I'm aware. Some of you believe this. You believe you're not talented and you're not gifted. And you know why I know that? Because that's what I used to think. I struggled in school terribly. Terribly. Had ADD. I had dyslexia. Didn't know it. You know, it's really hard to spell when letters move all over the page. It's really hard to read when words jump. I never thought I was going to be anything. I never thought I was gifted. It's frustrating. Learning was hard. Thank God, God made me strong. But you know, God didn't make me a great reader. God did not make me a phenomenal speller. You're not going to see me in a spelling bee. God gave me a mouth. Isn't it amazing? This mouth got me in so much trouble, and yet it was the very thing God would use to bring him glory. I thought my mouth was a curse. God gave it as a gift. Just because you don't see your giftedness yet doesn't mean it's not there. God has gifted you. God has blessed you. Listen to me. You are a gift to Sandals Church. You are. You say, what's my gift? You are. What's my gift? You are. I need to take a spiritual gift test. You're the gift. The test is not the gift. You're the gift. As you become more and more like Christ, our church is more and more gifted. And so are the people around you, are blessed. Next, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get afraid of death. As a pastor, I have to deal with that a lot. I see people die all the time, all the time. I remember worrying about death at my 6th birthday party, which is strange, but I'm a strange dude, right? A lot of us are afraid of getting older, getting weaker, and we're afraid of dying. Do you know how Jesus Christ conquers our fear of death? He died and rose. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you thanked God, write this down, for how he saved me? 1 Corinthians 15, 57 says this, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some of you guys don't know this. We don't simply remember the death of Jesus because he died. We remember the death of Jesus because he rose. Jesus dying does not make him significant. Jesus rising from the dead does. And here's the promise of Jesus. Just as he rose, even though he died, here's his promise. So will you. So will you. So will you. When's the last time you thank God for that? Cancer will not have the final say on your life, but Jesus will. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Listen to me. A lot of you believe all religions are the same. Let me tell you something. None of them are the same. They all say very different things. I can't stand it when people say all roads lead to the same place. You try that on the way home today. Isn't it amazing the stupid things we say? All roads lead to the same place. Good luck, buddy. Do you know where roads lead? To different places. And so do religions. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one goes to heaven but by me. The only way you experience the gift of salvation is through the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And here's the beauty of that. When you experience the love that God has for you in Christ Jesus, look at 1 John 4:18. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels not just some fear, but all fear. Can you imagine if you walked in life completely unafraid of death because you were so in love with Jesus? You know what that means? The peace that comes from Christ is controlling your thoughts and your mind, and you're always thankful. Lastly, a lot of us can't thank God because we're afraid of what's happening around us. Right? Many of you this weekend sat around tables with people that have hurt you, wounded you, lied to you. And it's hard for you to be grateful because you're reminded of all the wounds and all the hurts. And it's hard to be thankful on that day when all you seem to be reminded of is such pain. I know a lot of you, you're struggling with God and you say, I don't understand why. I don't understand why I keep having to go through the storm. What's our prayers? Our prayers is that there is no storm. Our prayers are that we can go around the storm. We never pray that we go through it, do we? But oftentimes, the storm is exactly where God wants us. And here's why. I need to thank God for how he's changing me. Do you know how God changes me? Through storms, through difficulties. Man, there's so many things that I went through as your pastor in my 20s and in my 30s that I prayed so diligently that God would take away. So much hurt, so much suffering, so much rejection. And I struggled with how on earth can a God who claims to be good allow me to go through so much bad? And then I got through it. And I realized I could not be your pastor today if I didn't go through the storms yesterday. How can I lead you in your suffering? How can I lead you through your hardship if I've never been through it? Listen to what God's word says. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. No matter how bad something is you're in right now, our God can make it good for you in your life. He can do that, and he is doing that. Listen. My wife and I, we've been married 22 years, going on 23. A lot of it's been good, but a lot of it's been bad. And here's the lie I believed. I believed that the bad times were wasted times. When the reality is, our bad times is what cemented our love for each other. You know what some of you need to be committed to each other is a foxhole. when bombs are going off all around and you don't know how to pay the bills and you don't know what to do with your kids and you don't know where the paycheck is going to come from and all you've got is God and each other, it's in those moments that love is forged. Real love. And let me tell you this. Here's why God is allowing you to go through what you're going through right now, because he wants to get you to a place where all you have is him and you hold on to him and you trust him and you believe in him. And that's the moment when your love for him is forged. Listen to me. Love is not forged in a romantic dinner. Love is not forged in a wedding. Love is forged in a foxhole. God's love for you, it was not romantically proclaimed from heaven. It was delivered to you on the cross. That's when God's love for you was made real. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's love. That's love. Listen to me. From someone who has wrestled with fear, start wrestling with God and watch him take away your fear. Because when you allow yourself to be conquered by Christ, Christ will conquer your fears and his peace will control your thoughts and minds. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now in this moment for who you've made us to be. God, instead of focusing right now on everything that's wrong, we want to praise you for the things that are right, for the things that are good, for the things that are true. God, we're thankful, Lord, for the people in our life, the things that you've given us and the ways that you've blessed us. Lord, we're thankful for you dying on the cross for us. And we are thankful, Lord, that even though some of us are walking through hell, we know ultimately you will deliver us to heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to allow us to change. Lord, bless us this week with a spirit of thankfulness. We pray in Christ's name, amen.